This is Twit.
This next kind of block, we're going to talk about the Nintendo Switch. It's the system that made the top of my 8-year-old daughter's Christmas Santa list. I'm not sure if she's getting it. I'm not sure I was prepared for that. I honestly didn't think that she was going to come back with that. I'm like, wow, you really liked the Switch when we had it. But I know that it's a lot of fun, and I know that there are a lot of games. Sam, tell us what games we should really pay attention to.
Well, we're in 2018, so there was a lot of talk about the Switch last year. It was a big splash of a year. We had Zelda Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey. That was a big 1-2 punch for Nintendo fans.
Yeah.
So if you haven't gotten a Switch yet, you're great starting off with those two. Those are both wonderful games that show off the Switch difference. In terms of first-party games and hits, there was a lot of other stuff last year that was great. We had Splatoon 2. We had ARMS. ARMS being a really clever new fighting game. It didn't sell very well, but I thought it was great. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Again, that was all last year. Why am I talking about last year so much? Because this year was not a great year for Nintendo first-party games. We had Mario Tennis Aces, which was a kind of fine but weird version of older Mario Tennis games. And that's kind of about it.
Wow.
There were a lot of games that came out on Switch, but people go to Nintendo systems for Nintendo games.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't... Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which came out on the Wii U. So if you didn't get the Wii U and you wanted to see that very solid game, you can go with that. But again, kind of old. So what did we get that was actually new this year from Nintendo? Well, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee are currently the quote-unquote biggest new games for the system. And that's a funny way to talk about it because they're both retreads of the very first Pokemon games, meaning Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow on the Game Boy in the 90s. Those games have been remade once before. This is sort of a Pokemon Go remake, meaning that institutes some of the things that you do in the smartphone games. Particularly, you throw little Pokeballs physically in the world instead of getting into random character battles. If you've ever played Pokemon games, you know about random character battles. You're walking around, you're trying to collect them all, and that requires getting into battle after battle after battle in order to get the exact Pokemon you want. That has been removed, and this removal really made people concerned about whether this was going to be a true Pokemon game or if they were dumbing it down for the smartphone crowd. What I found, this is how Pokemon games should be going forward. This minigame system allows this process of grinding and grinding and grinding to get your perfect Pokemon group to be a lot more fluid and interesting. And there's still the hardcore basic battling system of different types of Pokemon facing off against each other, meaning you still have to deal with water versus fire versus electric versus poison versus metal. All of these different types of crazy Pokemon creatures all still have to face off in what are known as trainer battles. So I know I'm kind of going in the weeds there, but the basic thing is if you've never done Pokemon, this really is a solid way to get in and say, oh, I'm a grown-up and I'm kind of curious about all these cute monsters. Maybe it's a throwback to my youth. Boom, this is the game to do it. Or I'm a hardcore Pokemon player who wants to try something a little different and breezy. Boom, there you go. It's not the ultimate hardcore game that longtime fans are going to say, yes, this is a true sequel. It's also not a game that's going to take someone who thinks Pokemon is stupid and change their mind. But if you're in that slew in the middle, and I think there's a lot of people who are, this is a good game.
And there's now, a little bit of, real quick before we move on, what is the integration between Pokemon Go on the smartphone and Pokemon Let's Go? Like, how does that tie in specifically? Because people could have been playing Pokemon Go for a year and a half.
That is the question,
and that feeds
yes.
right in, right?
Basically, after you get to a certain point in the Switch game, you'll open up a garden. And in that garden, you can transfer characters from your smartphone collection of characters to the Switch game and vice versa. Okay. It's not vice versa. It's only from the phone to the game. But it's a cute thing. It's a nice bonus if you really like Pokemon Go on your phone. But I would not say that it's a reason to get those two games connected. It's not, you know, if you're already into Pokemon Go, then you're probably going to be interested in Pokemon Let's Go. And it's sort of a nice bone to be thrown as opposed to, oh my God, it's such a really awesome thing, because you don't want to get screwed if you are outside the Pokemon Go system. And this game is good at being like, you're brand new. That's fine. You're not missing anything. Come on. So that's nice. I believe there's one character that you have to use the phone to get into the game, and that's its own crazy jump through hoops. There's always like one or two Pokemon that Nintendo makes very hard and difficult and weird to access. So if you get to that point of playing this game and being that obsessed, then that's sort of your route to go crazy.
Sure. I played around with this next thing, and I'm curious to know what you think about it for the holidays. Is it Labo? I think it's Labo.
Nintendo Labo.
Labo.
I mean, you know, it's whatever you want to call it because they make up their own words. Yeah, and that was another big thing that was released when I talked about first-party things, and I didn't list it because I'm not totally sold on it. I think Nintendo set out, there's me, dressed up in the weird robot suit.
No, that's normal, Sam.
That's normal. That's just an average work day.
Every day.
Yep. But the idea of this set is it is specifically for parents and children. There is no other use case for this as far as I'm concerned, because you're taking a whole bunch of sheets of cardboard and poking out pieces and sticking them together, using rubber bands, fitting them together, folding, and creating anything from a player piano to a robot suit to a fishing pole. It all looks really clever. The ads really blew me away, and I was very excited. The problem is that the games that are included are pretty superficial. You're going to have a much more interesting time building this set and building it with a kid than you are either playing the game or as a grown-up putting cardboard together. There's certain creativity that's enabled in terms of I could put stickers on the cardboard, I can get markers. But again, this is much more about hands-on construction than this is about innovative, interesting gaming. Because ultimately, the games that are included in this set feel like cheap, simple fare from the Wii era. Playing with the piano, to me, did not feel like some sort of Guitar Hero revelation or some other sort of MIDI-controlled music awesomeness. It's fine. But again, you just want to look at this not as a video game, but as a construction project. If you like the sound of that, sure. But I would not put it on a video game list because the video game part, to me, is just fine.
Interesting. So the gaming is just kind of secondary to the actual construction. Right. Still a neat integrated setup for kids. I don't know how much replay there is around that.
But. I think basically look for the sale and get the variety kit. Don't go for the robot suit kit. The game in that is terrible. The payoff between building the backpack and actually playing games takes forever. Although I will say there are children who are just going to enjoy wildly flailing and punching madly. But, you know, they might do that without the $90 or however much it costs kit.
Looks like $60 is what it's on sale for right now. Nice. Cool. All right, what's next?
Well, the one thing that I can't really talk about, I don't have access to it yet, is one game, the big exception to this list of no first-party Nintendo games, Smash Brothers Ultimate. I went to an event in New York City last month, and I got to play the final version of the game for about 20 minutes. I showed up late. It was like a four-hour thing, and I was in New York for a whole... The fact that I was in New York was serendipity. Point being, there is a lot in this game. 74 characters, give or take. Smash Brothers, for the uninitiated, is an opportunity to take all of your favorite cute Nintendo characters and have them beat the stuffing out of each other in a fighting game. Unlike Street Fighter, this is not a game where you beat people down in terms of hit points or health. You try to knock them off of a platform. So it's got sort of this Kid Icarus, but with punches and fighting sort of mix to me. If you're an 80s kid, you would get that Kid Icarus feeling. And it's just huge. And there's new characters, there's more modes, there's online play. I am absolutely looking forward to it. I didn't play it enough to review what I played, but I've played it at different events. I will say this, at E3 this summer, I got to sneak through a bunch of lines and play against average fans over and over on an incomplete build. And the speed of it, the general action of it, is the kind of thing that makes me say, yes, this is just going to be a no-brainer if you've played Smash Brothers before and want more of that style. Whether the game is going to do anything for people who've never played Smash Brothers is a good question, and one I look forward to exploring in the very near future. But definitely put this on your Switch list if you care about old Nintendo characters punching each other in the face.
Love it. And people who are fans of the Smash Brothers kind of catalog, I mean, like you said, it's a no-brainer as far as that's concerned. As far as from what you're showing off here, it looks like a lot of fun.
Right.
All right.
And so now let's switch to ports. There are a lot of ports of games that have come out in the past for the Switch. I did a big piece at Ars Technica about a range of them from the past few years. But I want to highlight the two of my favorites in terms of quote-unquote AAA Switch ports from this year. The first of those is Diablo 3. Diablo 3 has come out 5 gazillion times. But unlike some ports that have come out a gazillion times that I don't necessarily want to rebuy, Diablo 3 to me feels perfect for the Nintendo Switch. This is a game that was designed for older computers, and that means the Nintendo Switch is more powerful than the systems that Diablo 3 was originally built for. It means it looks great. It runs at 60 frames a second. It runs with a bunch of craziness going on screen in terms of spells and effects and monsters exploding all over. And that can wear down a tiny Switch CPU and GPU, but it holds up. And it supports local and online multiplayer. You can just be out and about, set up the Switch on a little table with the little hinge. It's got the tablet mode, is what they call it. And you can split your Joy-Cons and hold them sideways like old Nintendo controllers and play two-player Diablo in a pinch. Now, the screen's a little small. It's not ideal for that, but you can do it. There's just a lot in Diablo 3. It is a big game. It got patched like crazy over the years. And some people just didn't play it for whatever reason. It's also on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and computer. But this version is so good. And if you didn't play it yet, grab it. If you've already played it and you're worried about getting addicted again, don't, because you will get addicted. Another port that I'd like to point out, Dark Souls. This is the first Dark Souls game. It came out on PlayStation 3 a gazillion years ago, and it had uneven performance on that platform. Now, in the future, we're on the Switch, a portable system, and it arguably runs better, meaning you can finally play some of this game's tough, brutally tough challenges without worrying about the frame rate hitching and you missing that perfect jump in order to not get killed by the most terrible boss ever. There is a catch. Dark Souls Remastered on the Switch has compressed audio. If you put on headphones, you will hear scratchy sounds, especially with voices. It sucks. So that's it's a shame, because the audio design in that game is really good. But all of that brutal challenge and timing perfect kind of dodging in this game is still holds up on the Switch. This is a 30 frames a second game, not 60. There are people who really care about this sort of thing, and I'm a frame rate junkie, but I can make Dark Souls work, like, in terms of my kind of gaming preferences. And so I really encourage anyone who's interested in the Dark Souls series and has a Switch to check that one out. And then in terms of ports, there's a bunch of other games that came out on many different platforms, and I want to quickly rattle through them. If you own a Switch, get all four of these games. Number one, Into the Breach. This is a strategy game. It's sort of high-tech Starship Troopers chess. Came out early in the year. It's on computer, and now it's on Switch. It scales incredibly well to the joysticks on a Joy-Con controller. The second game, we're doing this one real fast because there's a bunch. Dead Cells. Dead Cells came out in early release. I want to say last year, finally had its retail version come out on all the consoles and PC. But this game is essentially a randomly generated Castlevania Symphony of the Night. What more do you need to hear? When I say that series, what I mean is the pedigree, the action, the button timings, the items that you can randomly get, the level designs, the monsters. It is on par with that, with Symphony of the Night. Number three, Minit, M-I-N-I-T. This is a game where you die every 60 seconds. It plays a lot like the Game Boy Legend of Zelda game Link's Awakening, and it kind of looks like it. So every 60 seconds, you die, but whatever you've done in that 60 seconds is saved so that when you come back to life, you go in the next direction and go on to the next thing. What better game for the Switch than one where every 60 seconds you die and start again? You can play 3, 4, 5, 6 lives, turn it off, come back to it later. It is perfect for this sort of for pick up and go. That is baked into it. And the last one, Ninjin Clash of Carrots. Nobody's talking about this game. That's N-I-N-J-I-N. If you type that in, the rest of it will come up. This is also on multiple platforms. Feels really great on Switch. This is a shoot 'em up, a shmup. So we're talking old R-Type and some of these old games and arcades. But you are running around on your feet with a samurai sword and a bunch of different items. So it takes this sort of old school arcade mentality and combines it with something that feels kind of like the Goemon series, G-O-E-M-O-N, which was huge in Japan by Konami. There was Legend of the Mystical Ninja was its name in the States. So if any of those things I just said sound like your kind of catnip, get this game.
Man, I'm really impressed. I'm way less connected to all this stuff than you are, so I'm curious to hear what you think about this. Really impressed with the quality and the innovation coming from the indie game development houses.
Those four games are you could just get those four games and be done for the year. They're all quite good, but that's sort of a limited. Those are all kind of tailored toward the twitchier, faster play. Although Into the Breach is definitely a smart game. That is not a twitchy game.